How do you feel today? And before you say fine, I want you to just think about it for a second. How have you been feeling? Are you tired? You're fatigued? No energy? We need you to go get checked for COVID right now. No. Just seems to be going around, doesn't it? It's just people are frustrated. They're sad. They see the way the world is going, and it's just depressing. I have to confess, I was feeling the same way. And God had some stuff to say to me, and I'm going to share it with you today, what he had to say to me. But we who believe, we should not be taken in by the narrative of this world. What if God is ushering in the events that are going to bring the rapture? What if that's what he's doing right now in this world? Why would we be sad? Would we want to stop that? Well, I'm not ready, Lord. The pandemic, that surprised God. God was surprised by that. Right? The irregularities of the election, was God taken aback? I didn't see that coming. No, we know that's not the truth. Nothing happens by chance or bad luck. Now, as I thought about this statement, the world would tell us, it's just fate, it's chance. And right, there's a movie, a famous one, Forrest Gump. And the movie makers tell us what they believe. At the end, Forrest is sitting on a bench and the feather is floating up. And Forrest says, well, I think it's a little bit of both. Right? That there's destiny and then there's chance. What? That makes no sense. But that's what the world would tell us. God said to me, Scott, why are you down in the dumps? I am in control. All of this has been predestined. It's our destiny. Let's pray. Father, here we are. We just come humbly before you, just like we always do. We have words on a piece of paper. But unless you, through the Holy Spirit, make it come to life for us, it will be wasted time. So we just ask once again that you might have mercy upon us, that you might make this come to life for us, and that it might be an encouragement to us as we leave. We want to honor our Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you grant that to us this morning, to honor him? We love Jesus. We want to be conformed to him, his image. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this time when we can share it together. Thank you for Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. All right. The Bible tells us that long before the world began, before there was an earth, God had a plan to bring redemption to us. He had a plan to bring redemption to all who would choose to follow him. This verse, 1 Peter 1, 19 and 20, tells us, by with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for the sake of you. Before the world, before the foundation of the world. This is either true You know the next line. For the sake of you, a lamb. God knew we would need a Savior. Before there was matter, before there was time, God had a plan. He knew what we would need. By sending his one and only Son, we receive forgiveness and find new life and hope through him. So I thought about this. What's the most famous verse in the Bible? John 3:16. And we know it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that one. But sometimes we get looking around and we look at the news. By the way, if you can avoid the news, I would recommend that. If you want to just stay spiritually strong, if you want to have the power to pray and not be depressed by the things of this world, God is going to give us something this morning. A way. Now, throughout the scriptures, specifically in the Old Testament, there's prophecies that speak of Christ to come. Now, Bible scholars have concluded, a lot of research went into this. Hundreds of years before Jesus was born, there were over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament. They tell of his coming, his life, his journey, the cross, the power of his resurrection. They give the exact location, circumstances, timing of Christ's birth. God alone is the only one who could do this. The astronomical odds of fulfilling over 300 prophecies. God is the only one that could do it. Jesus is the fulfillment of the scriptures. He's the word, he's the light, he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. The whole message of Christmas is wrapped up in Jesus. God's greatest gift came to earth as a tiny little baby. So today I'd like to look at 7 of these prophecies. And you may have some that you like better than the 7 I choose or chose. That's okay. It's something we have in common that we can enjoy the scriptures together. The 7 prophecies are really the destiny and plan that was laid out for Jesus. So I'd like to look at that, the destiny of Jesus. And then I'd like to look at our destiny and what the Bible says about the destiny of you and me. So let's look at the first one. Before we get there, sorry, I jumped ahead. This is what Jesus said about the prophecies about himself, the circumstances, Jesus said, this is Luke 24:44. Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Jesus said this. And he's saying it to us today, once again. The prophecies had to be fulfilled to prove. Jesus clearly states in the Old Testament that prophecies were about him. It was a necessary thing to prove that he was who he said he was. Now, the prophecies were written in many different books by many different people. He'd been talking about Jesus really for centuries before he came. So I thought about the prophecies and how these prophets were instructed to write down these things that were going to happen. I thought about God. God just didn't create the world and create us and then see that we were, messed up. we were just kind of going our own way. And then he came up with a plan that, well, I guess I'm going to have to fix this problem that they made. No, God knew already before the foundations of the world. He knew what would happen, which takes us to the first prophecy. This is called a messianic prophecy. It's found in Genesis chapter 3:15, and this is what it says. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now, this prophecy came right after the fall. Adam and Eve had sinned. They were deceived. And once again, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head. This is about Satan, that his head would be crushed. Now, the first messianic prophecy, did God think that up just then after they sinned? No. Before the foundation of the world, he knew. God knew that they would sin. He knew that the deceiver would come. He knew that the deceiver would come to lie and to steal and to destroy. And Jesus was coming to stomp on his head. Now, the fulfillment of that prophecy is found in John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And 1 John 3:8, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Once again, the reason the Son of God appeared, the reason he came here to earth as a baby, was to destroy the works of the devil. Now, there's quite a few prophecies that surround the birth of Jesus, and so I just chose the next one because it, well, we all know it. It's found in Isaiah 7:14. It says this, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah spoke this prompted by the Lord. He just didn't think this up himself. God himself told Isaiah that this was going to happen. And the fulfillment, I put five verses down there, Matthew 1:18-23, and I thought, kind of long, but let's read it. It encouraged me. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of God, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Now, the Matthew, he doesn't want us to miss this one, right? So he says it plainly. A virgin birth is not something that you just take or leave. Yeah, I'm not sure about the virgin birth. Nope. It's a spectacular sign for us today, for me. It's not just a nice, cute part of the Christmas story. It's proof that Jesus is the one God was sending. The next one I chose was Micah 5:2. It says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler over Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days." There's a prophet hundreds of years before Jesus was coming, receives a message from God and relates it to us. Matthew 2:1 is the fulfillment of this prophecy. It's pretty simple. "But after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem." Tells us plainly, Jesus was born in Jerusalem. It was pointed out hundreds of years before he ever came that he would be born there. Now, I like this one because it just tells us that Jesus came from humble beginnings, a small town boy. He was going to be the king. He was prophesied to be the king. He was going to rule over Israel and the world. His origins definitely came from way back. Line of David, descendant of Abraham. But he was still born in humble circumstances, a small town boy. As I thought about these things that were prophesied, this one, that he would be a descendant of Abraham, is found in Genesis 22:17-18. It says this, "I will surely bless you and will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. Your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Now, at first glance, this one doesn't seem to be a Christmas prophecy so much. But let's just take a look. We know the story. Do you remember Abraham taking Isaac to be offered? We know that story. That's where these verses come from. He obeyed, and this is what God said to him. "Because you obeyed, all of the offspring here on earth would be blessed because of you." The fulfillment found in Matthew 1:1. "This is the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." So the New Testament tells us, right, that this is a fulfillment of what was promised to Abraham. And what was the promise? That all of the people to come would be blessed. Now, Jesus coming, we could be saved. I would call that a blessing. Yes, it's awesome. That's probably the most important blessing we'll ever receive. He was coming in Abraham's line, and so he did. The kingship of the Lord Jesus and coming in the line of David is found in Jeremiah 33:14-17. It says this, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name of which it will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel." Now, this promise to David that right one of his descendants would sit on the throne of Israel is, we might be puzzled by that because, right, there's no descendant from the house of David that's sitting on any throne right now, is there? Think again. Yes, there is. Right? Because, right, the Lord, our righteous Savior, the King of Kings, reigns eternally. And he's reigning right now in heaven. Right? So this prophecy, this promise to David that somebody from his line would reign is happening right now. The fulfillment, Luke 1, 32 to 33 says this, he will be great. It's talking about our Lord Jesus. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. As I thought about this prophecy, I was reminded once again, God wins. God is the winner. One day, Barb was feeding two of our granddaughters lunch at our house. She said to them, if you finish your lunch, you can have a cookie. The younger one popped the rest of her lunch in her mouth and then pumped her fist in the air and said, I win. Her older sister, who hadn't eaten her lunch, said drolly, you don't get to win every time. God wins. God always wins. We're on the side of the winner. Right? Out of the mouth of babes will come infinite truth. When we look around us, we think the enemy is winning. No, the enemy is not winning. God always wins. As I looked at this one, the prophecy that Jesus would be the sacrifice for sins, I picked Isaiah 53. This is verse 10. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offering. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The fulfillment of this prophecy is found in Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's prophesied that Jesus would come, that he would be a sacrifice for sins. I know this doesn't really seem like a Christmas prophecy, but it is. Right? It's probably one of the greatest fulfilled prophecies that Jesus would be a sacrifice for us. It's what makes Christmas so great. It's the reason why Jesus came. Last week in the early remembrance service, my brother Dean shared this verse. It's Acts 2:23. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. It was a definite plan and foreknowledge of God. Jesus was born so that he could save us from our sins. We should celebrate that all the time, not just at Christmas. Jesus was born so that he could save us. Now, this one isn't a prophecy so much as just an announcement. that says, right, all of the prophecies have been fulfilled. I love this. It's Luke 2, 10, and 11. I put it in the King James because many of us learned it when we were children. Others of us learned it from Linus on Peanuts. Right? And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It's the best news ever, really. It's the greatest reason for joy. So why do I get down in the dumps? Is it just a flaw in my character? We have every reason to rejoice. The proof, the prophecies, the proof that Jesus was exactly who he said he was, our Savior. Praise the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Don't you love God's word? As I was thinking about this, and God was reminding me not to be depressed, he also reminded me about my destiny. And I came across this passage in Psalms, where David was talking about his destiny. And I believe that this portion speaks to us today. It speaks to me. And I kind of chopped the middle part. I put Psalm 139, 1 through 16, and I don't think I'm going to have time to do verses 7 through 12, but let's just read 1 through 6 and 13 through 16. It says this, O Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. For God, my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Now David spells out many things, and I started to just go through and try and count all of the things that David was saying about his destiny. How did he know that all of his days were numbered? God told him, right? That's why he wrote it down. He didn't just figure that one out by himself. How about the stuff that was going on when he was in his mother's womb? The God of the universe revealed it to him. If all of our days are written out beforehand, as David says, can we add one more? Could we add another day somehow? No. No, they're all determined ahead of time. Good days. And bad days. All written out ahead of time. God knew. Now, Paul, he tells us this. This is Romans 8, 28 to 30. And we know, for those who love God, all things work together for good. Now, other translations say God works all things together for good, or God works in all things for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Our destiny, your destiny, my destiny. If you know Christ, your destiny is to be conformed to the image of his son. That's what our destiny is. Paul knew, right? Paul knew. For we know that all things work together for good. He knew this, that in every situation, God works for our ultimate benefit. Either we're predestined or we're not. There's no gray area. There's no a little bit of both. It's one or the other. Either we're predestined or everything is just happening to us willy-nilly by chance. God doesn't really know what's going to happen to us. It's one or the other. Right here, here's Paul. He's pretty certain that we were predestined. Now, he goes on to say to those in Ephesus, this is Ephesians 1, 4, and 5, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. My grandson is adopted. And when he was a young boy, 3 or 4, he had had a good day. It was one of those good days when he was out playing in the snow. And his mom reminded him that, wow, wasn't this just a good day? And my grandson said, yes. And she said, well, wasn't this a great day? And he said, that's why I chose you. Right? So here's a little boy. Just in a sweet way, he's kind of like us. Don't we think we've chosen God? We chose him? When in fact, no. He was chosen by my daughter. And we have been chosen by God. Predestined for the adoption through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:11. In him, it's the bottom of the slide there. This is Ephesians 1:11. In him, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Now, I came across a translation, and I sometimes hesitate to bring in other translations, but this is another translation. Through our union with Christ, we too have been claimed by God as his own inheritance. Before we were even born, he gave us our destiny, that we would fulfill the plan of God who always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart. Isn't that great? That spoke to me. Now Paul tells us why we were predestined. This is Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And Paul assures those in Philippi. This is Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Has God begun a good work in you? Has he? Yes or no? If so, he's going to bring it to completion. He gives us that assurance. Praise the Lord. Isn't that encouraging? Yes, we don't need to be down in the dumps. Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's our destiny to be saved through Jesus Christ and not to suffer wrath. Many of us know Jeremiah 29:11. Anybody quote that for me? Loudly. What kind of plans, Barb? Willy-nilly plans. No. Plans for what? Yes. You can't remember it, but you had the biggest voice. I won't say the biggest mouth. Yes. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and hope. Yes. These are the plans that God has for us. Now, I wasn't sure whether I would have time for this one, and I came across this verse in Habakkuk, and I didn't make a slide for it. So if you got your Bibles and you want to turn to Habakkuk, you can be my guest. But this is what Habakkuk 2:3 says. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Now, the vision is talking about Israel. But God was saying to me, does it seem like things are going too slow for you, Scott? Are you getting a little bit impatient? And God just reminded me, if it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. I was reminded of the rapture. Wait for it. Don't be impatient. Now, as I thought about how do I live out my destiny, how you live out your destiny, I came across this song. It's from 1996. So if you're younger, you probably don't remember this one. Here's the chorus. I don't want to wait for our lives to be over. I want to know right now, what will it be? I don't want to wait for our lives to be over. Will it be yes, or will it be sorry? I can see on your faces that many of you recognize this, seeing how they played it every other song on the radio for 5 years. I don't want to wait. I want to know right now. What is my destiny? Many in this world worry about their future, and you know them. You see them. Don't be one of them. Don't worry about your future. God has a plan for you and me. He's mapped out your life long before we ever got here. All of our days were written down. God reveals his plans to us by his word. You should know his word, young people. The Holy Spirit. and confirmation given by other wise people. This is what the Bible says. This is John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. The things that are to come. Our future, our destiny. The Holy Spirit is going to reveal that stuff to us. He doesn't tell us in advance. He does it step by step. But the Holy Spirit is going to minister to all of us that are children of God. You're not alone in this life. God's living in you. He's teaching you. He's counseling you and comforting you. Now, at this point, you might be saying, yeah, but what about all this bad stuff that happened to me? Was that God's plan? Or did I choose that? And so the question of choice and free will and destiny has to come up in a conversation like this. Psalm 16:5. Just before we go on to choice, I thought was just great. Now, it might seem a little confusing at first. It says, "The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot." He's not talking about the ground that your house sits on. All right, so I looked up the word lot. In Strong's, it said that the Greek word is called gorol. And it figuratively means a portion or destiny. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my destiny. My chosen portion. Do we have free will? Can we choose anything? Do we make choices every day that affect our life? I wondered if I would have time to really address this. And it seems like I do. Like I have a little bit of time. I wrote some stuff on a separate sheet of paper that talks about the choices that... That we make, and I wrote down some questions. Are we predestined, or are we just a puppet on a string? And I thought about putting up a picture of, right, a hand with strings and attached to a guy that would kind of stick in our head a little bit about this thought of being a puppet. And as we're sitting in our chair right now, we're probably thinking, well, I'm not a puppet. There's no strings attached to me. But many times, we make an excuse and we say, well, it's not my fault. Right? It's my destiny. I was preordained to do this. And that's not really what God tells us in his word. There are many verses that talk about making a choice. Now, our brother Mark just finished a series on Jonah, and I thought, did Jonah choose to go to Joppa? Or did God make him go? No, that was a choice that he made. God didn't make him go. God knew that he was going to go. God prepared a fish, but it was Jonah's choice. He disobeyed. Now, I didn't put these verses on a slide, so if you want to look them up, that's great. If not, that's okay too. This is Joshua 24:15. This is what it says. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a choice. Choose you this day. Deuteronomy 30:11-19 explains to the Israelites outcomes of their choices. And you can look at that if you like, but I just jotted down verse 19 and it says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live. God tells us, right? He was telling the Israelites, choose life. We have a choice. John 7:17, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God. It's a choice for us. We can choose to do the will of God. Here's Mark 8:34, and calling to the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's a choice. If anyone would follow me. We know Proverbs 16:9 pretty well. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. God is sovereign over all. He knows what we're going to choose, but we still have a choice. Now, I got this quote from gotquestions.org, and I just typed in, you know, fate and destiny, and here's the quote. Lest we get the wrong idea, we are not the sovereign masters of our fate. Only God is sovereign. His sovereign control is called providence. He has chosen to give us a free will, and he has created a moral universe in which the law of cause and effect is a reality. But God is God alone, and there are no accidents in the universe. I skipped over probably one of my favorite ones, and I use this quite often. I didn't put this on a slide. We know it well. It's Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. We have a choice to open the door. Most of the people in this room, I'm guessing, God knocked on the door of your heart and you opened the door. There may be some here that have never given their life to Christ. By the way, our destiny is that we would all be here in this room today, right at this very moment. This is our destiny. It is your destiny that you would hear this message this morning, and if you have never given your life to Christ, that Christ would knock on your door's heart, your heart's door this morning. It's your destiny. Once again, here's God knocking on your heart's door. And you're like, well, how will I know that he's knocking? You can feel it deep down in the pit of your stomach, of your heart. You can feel God knocking and calling your name. It says he calls us. Is God doing that right now? Is he knocking on your heart and saying, this is for you? It was Jesus' destiny to come to earth before time began. It's our destiny to be here today. It's your destiny to give your life to Christ and be saved. It's really an encouraging message. God is reminding us it just didn't happen by chance. It wasn't bad luck. I have provided for you. And I don't want you to be down about it. I want you to be happy and thrilled and rejoicing in the fact that we're on the winning side and we're going to see Jesus sooner than later. Our destiny is set. God wants us to live victoriously for Him. It involves choices that we make every day. God knows what you're going to choose, but He still gives you the ability to choose. As the worship team comes up, if God has spoken to you this morning and said, you've kind of been taken in by this world and the message of this world, and you've been down and out a little bit, and you haven't really been living victoriously, God is here right now through the Holy Spirit reminding us to stop that. Stop doing that. You were saved, not just to muddle along. You were saved to live victoriously. Today, if you've never given your life to Christ, God is here in the form of the Holy Spirit, and He's poking you in the heart. He's knocking on your heart's door. He's saying, this is your destiny to be saved. Today, give your life to Christ. If so, you need to answer Him. God, we give you this. It's your message to us. Thank you for encouraging us today. Thank you for Jesus. We say it all in His name. Amen.